So, hello, everyone. First of all, I would like to thank to have the opportunity to spend the week here and to give this this presentation today. So, what I will talk about is a paper that we recently published with my PhD supervisor, Alejandro Perez, and we call it Lightcon thermodynamics. So let me start with the setting, which is really simple. So consider Minkowski spacetime, okay? And consider two events in Minkowski spacetime, okay? By meaning of a boost, I can bring these two points on the r on the r equal zero line and time symmetric with respect to the origin of time I choose. Okay, and now from this point, draw the future light cones and the past light cones of the two points. Okay. So these light cones will divide Minkowski spacetime in six regions, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, okay? And they will meet at a sphere here, because this I dropped out two dimensions, and each point here is a sphere. I'm working in spherical symmetry, okay? And what I want to show in this talk is that to this very simple system, you can give thermodynamical properties which are in strict formal correspondence with the one of the black hole in that we know. In particular, I will try to convince you that we can define a quantity k that it's constant on what will play the role of the horizon, which are these light cones, these two bifurcating null hypersurfaces here, okay? And then, and this is the zeroth law of light cone thermodynamics. Then I will show you how you write it for the first law, which means that if I consider a small perturbation of energy in this spacetime that flows through the horizon, the horizon reacts in a way that is like the one for black holes, actually with a part of the energy that will go on scry plus, where T will have the same relation with K as for the black hole case, namely this. And delta A, I will show you that is the change in the area of the bifurcating sphere, okay? And then we have a sort of a second law, which tells that what plays the role of the entropy, so the area over four, is always is not decreasing. And the third law, which is less precise, I would say, that in the limit in which the temperature goes to zero, also the entropy goes to zero, okay? So why is it interesting to study this? I mean, why? And the main reason for me is that a black hole's thermodynamics is usually considered to be a manifestation of the fundamental quantum the degrees of freedom of the fundamental quantum gravitational degrees of you understood, right? And starting there were developed several ideas as like space-time, which is emergent from thermodynamical description of these degrees of DOF, and so on. And so the question is, are black holes really special, or these thermodynamical ideas are much more general and can be assigned to to other hypersurfaces, and how these can give us hints on what is actually going on. Okay. And so having an example in Minkowski spacetime, which is which is really a simple spacetime, can give us some more deep information, hopefully. And you would say, yeah, but we already have an example in a Minkowski spacetime of an analog of the black hole, which is the Rindler spacetime. Well, this is true and not true at the same time for the following because you usually draw this diagram where here you have the right Rinder wedge, sorry, but when you draw this, the diagram is really different from when you draw this diagram, because in this case you are not in a spherical symmetric symmetric, and therefore each point here is actually an infinite plane R2, okay, which means that the topology of the horizon in this case is actually R2 cross R, while for the black hole case is S2 cross R, which is also the case here. This is S2 cross R, which actually implies that the area of the horizon here is infinite, while here is finite. And moreover, there is no sense in the Rindler spacetime, there is no outside of the horizon, because the picture here is misleading. But how you should think about the Rindler horizon is that you have observer here that are accelerating at a constant acceleration in one single direction, and you have an infinite plane here, okay, which is approaching at the speed of light here. So if I'm accelerating and I'm sending any signal, I'm sending, which is not directed exactly in the direction I'm going, will be hidden by the horizon, okay? And so you cannot throw a finite amount of energy, a chair, outside of the horizon, okay? And so there is no analog of the interior of the black hole and scribe plus, the exterior of the black hole. A geometric way to say this is that the Derrinder horizon is actually the intersection of the past light cone of a point on scribe plus and the future light cone of a point in scribe minus. And so it's more all around this, okay? So you don't have an exterior, while here you do, okay? So let me complete the setting. I can erase here, right? And I will consider a particular family of observers. So consider the conformal group of Minkowski space. This is isometric to SO51. It has 15 generators, okay? Each generators will provide in Minkowski spacetime a conformal Killing field. So a conformal Killing field means that the metric along the field changes only by a conformal factor, okay? Where psi is actually grad A xi A, okay? So it's clear that a standard Killing field is a particular conformal Killing field with psi equal to zero. And from these 15 generators, you can pick the most general linear combination that preserves spherical symmetry. And you will have the most general spherically symmetric conformal Killing field in Minkowski spacetime. And the explicit form is really easy. It's really simple. And it's simply this. It's a v squared plus c d by dv plus a u squared plus c d by du, where v and u are the null coordinates in the Minkowski spacetime, and a and c are numbers that defines the family of conformal Killing fields you have, okay? So the norm of this conformal Killing field is given just by minus the product of this. And what one can see is that the Killing field, the conformal Killing field will be now along v plus and minus and u plus and minus e equal minus 4ac, something like this. Anyway, you solve the second order equation there, which actually are all these null lines that I draw here, okay? And moreover, it is, let me erase here, yes. And moreover, it's time-like here, 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 and here, and space-like here and here, okay? And so now, let me draw the Penrose diagram of a Reisner-Nostrum black hole, which is a black hole with mass M and an electric charge Q, but not spin, okay? And it looks like this. And the Killing field of this space-time is time-like here, time-like, space-like, time-like, time-like, space-like, time-like, no. What did I draw? Yes, and time right here, and et cetera, et cetera. It's an infinite. And moreover, the spacetime becomes zero at the bifurcating sphere, here and here and here, as here, here and here. Okay. So as you can see, we have exactly the same structure in this and in the Eisner Nostrum black holes. And moreover, we also have the equivalence of the extremal case, because here we have this parameter delta equal minus 4ac that gives you the dimension of this sphere here. So in the limit delta going to zero, what happens is that this approaches here, 1, 2, and 3 disappears, and you only have this, where this is time-like, and now on the extremal horizons, and it's the same here in the limit q equal m, which is the extremal limit. You have the same, the spacetime becomes something like, where you have scry minus scry plus, et cetera, et cetera, and time-like. Okay? So the question is, can we give a more, I mean, this is a pictorial analogy between my system and a black hole. Can we give a more precise and compelling characterization of this analogy? And the answer is yes. And it's by using the properties of conformal Killing horizons and conformal Killing fields that I will write here, and I don't erase them. So as I said, a conformal Killing horizon in Minkowski space is a Killing horizon that such that the metric changes only by, if you want, it's really in any space-time admitting a conformal Killing horizon, and this explicitly given by this. Okay. And a conformal Killing horizon is defined as the surface where psi becomes null. Okay. On this horizon, since psi is null, it means that the gradient of the norm has to be proportional to psi itself, and defines a quantity KSG, which is what I will show is constant and will play the role of a temperature in our case. Moreover, the conformal Killing field is also geodesic on the horizon. So you can define another quantity, which I call kappa without SG, which is this. In the case of a Killing field, which is the case of a black hole horizon, these two objects are the same, because you open up this, you use this, and you get that they are the same. In the conformal Killing horizon case, no, because you have this additional term here. So what you actually get is that K surface gravity is given by K minus psi over 2, where psi over 2 is this guy, because psi is grad A, psi A. Okay? And what is also general in the case of a conformal Killing field is that KSG is Lie dragged along the conformal Killing horizon. So all these expressions are on the horizon. Okay? So we already see that we are almost a zeroth law for the conformal killing, right? And so now let me apply all this to the setting there, to the Minkowski. Another important property is that if my spacetime has a matter distribution TAB, I can define a current JA like this. And it's easy to show that grad AJA is proportional to the trace of the energy momentum tensor. So in the case of conformal invariant matter, the trace is zero, therefore J is conserved, and therefore there is a conserved quantity that I call M, which is given by the integral over any Cauchy surface of JA. Okay. Where?
Sorry, can I ask another question?
So
in Ringle,
yes,
you have a congruence of observers that are all moving towards you and then going away, right?
Yes.
All in the x-axis.
Accelerating.
So here, I should just think that I am in the middle and everyone is coming towards me and going away in all directions, right?
Yes,
so each
in spherical,
for each
right.
of them, if they carry a detector, it's not different from Ringle, right? For each of them. Each of them, they're just coming and going back. It's true that I have many of them, so they will make a sphere instead of a plane. But for each of them, it's the same physics. It just comes and goes back and measures their force and temperature T. Is this true or not?
No. In the sense that they will measure this observer, so they will measure this? No. I want one more. Okay. They will measure a temperature, but let me draw how they look like. Actually, my observers. They look like this. Okay. In the outside region. So they are not really, they're not Rinder observers because it's a good question, but I don't know how to explain it.
I understand that relative to each other, of course, they are different because they rotate, right? But one of them looks to me like it's just a proton.
Yes.
And goes back. So I don't understand the field for each of them. I would imagine the same physics as just usual.
Yes. Yes, that's right. But what it means having, if you want to define. In what you're saying, you don't have a family of observer that agrees that you have a horizon that has thermodynamical properties. So each observer has one horizon for himself that some to which somehow can give thermodynamical characterization, right? So there is no I mean, it's the, I mean, the temperature I will define is not the overall temperature for each observer. It's a this the you can prove that this I will do it. You can prove that the Minkowski vacuum in here is seen by this by the family of observer, not just by one observer, as a thermal state at a fixed temperature T. While in your case, I mean, and the temperature T therefore is not the Uru temperature for each of these observers. It's a more global statement. I don't know if it's
the trajectories. I mean, I don't work on these things, but they just look like the ones in from the accelerated observers.
No, they are accelerated observers, but they are not the accelerated observers.
So the trajectory
of Freeman.
They follow one of them. If I isolate one of them, not the full.
If you isolate
one
of them,
it doesn't coincide with just an accelerated observer with constant acceleration in the x-axis.
No. Is moving along the radius,
yeah, so
yes.
One of them, so I align along the axis.
Yes.
So then is it the same trajectory as in Rindler?
Yes, but the...
The same thing, no? Who cares? He will not care about whether there are other observers or not. Dancing in Minkowski, doing whatever they want.
Can I ask, are you sure about that? There's a sense in which I'm, if I follow that trajectory, I'm a uniformly accelerated observer.
It's not the same.
You are accelerated,
yeah.
Uniformly accelerated. So, yes.
Not at
okay.
The same speed. Not the same. You don't have the same clock, do you?
No. I mean, you have.
The horizons are different. So
different.
Yeah, I mean, no, I mean, it's true that the horizon is a difference. I mean. The inner horizon for this observer would be something here, okay. But he's saying
okay, so
anyway.
Okay.
Huh?
Okay, so it's not
linear. Yeah.
No, I mean it's clear that it's not the inner space like this is for sure. What you were saying is if these are also constantly accelerating observers, maybe the temperature is the same. But it's not.
Since you got distracted, can I ask?
Yes.
Why? Or maybe I'll answer it this way, or ask it this way. Are we thinking that we're thinking about a conformal field theory or conformal matter on Minkowski space or
yes.
Conformal matter coupled to gravity?
Conformal matter on Minkowski space.
On Minkowski space, okay.
In the sense that conformal matter on Minkowski space, it doesn't mean anything in the sense that it will back react and it's not Minkowski space anymore. So I will.
So it is coupled to gravity.
Right. So I will use linearized gravity because I will consider only a small amount of conformal invariant matter. So it's coupled to gravity and I will use linearized equations.
So I don't think you're allowed to do this because you've introduced gravity, which is breaking the conformal invariance. But it is true that if I just had conformal matter there, I could do a conformal transformation and transform this to Minkowski space. Your setup.
The setup is Minkowski space.
No, I didn't get your question. No, I misspoke. I apologize. But you can do a conformal transformation that turns this into Rindler space, if you like.
No.
Well, we'll talk about that later then. I'm pretty sure you can. But just a technical question, are you going to tell us what your favorite norm, like kappa and kappa's surface
SG.
Gravity
mm-hmm.
aren't, they're not defined yet because I don't know what, there's an overall normalization you haven't told us about. Or did you implicitly tell us?
Yeah, it's this.
Oh, when you did that, okay. Okay. Okay.
Okay, so okay, so let me apply this to the setting. So the zero flow is really simple because the quantity KSG is Lie drag along the horizon. Moreover, I'm spherically symmetric, and therefore automatically KSG is just constant on the whole horizon. Okay. The first law is the more involved one, but also the most interesting one. So what I will try to show is to prove is the so-called the physical process version of the first law, namely, as we were saying before, I consider a small perturbation of conformal invariant matter over here, okay? This matter will flow to scry and through the horizon, and by coupling the matter to gravity and using linearized Einstein's equation, I will show the first law. So since it's conformally invariant, I will consider a small amount of this conserved quantity, d delta m, and since it's conserved, I can choose as Cauchy hypersurface, so the matter will be localized in the exterior, so I can choose this hypersurface to integrate the flux of energy. And so I will have a piece on the horizon, this what I call H, times Xi B times the volume element of the horizon, plus I call it directly delta M infinite, which is the integral of JA over this piece of scry plus. Okay? And now what we want to show is to write this as some KSG over 8 pi times delta A, where delta A we have to understand what it is. And the usual way you do this in the black hole case, for example, is to consider that the horizon is a null congruence of geodesics, as I said, and therefore you can define the expansion of this of the congruence, which by definition it gives you the rate of change of the cross-sectional 2D area of your horizon along the parameter defining the generator of the horizon, okay? And theta satisfies the so-called Raichaduri equations, which tells you the change of theta along the horizon, which is given by 1/2 theta squared minus, oops, minus sigma squared plus omega squared minus, using Einstein's equation, TAB psi A psi B, where this is the shear of the congruence, this is the twist of the congruence. Okay. What you, yes. Actually, I cheated a little bit because xi is not a finely parameterized. So actually here you should have an additional term, which is kappa theta. But what we usually do is to consider the affinely parameterized generator of the horizon, which I will call L, and which in our case is just d by dv, where v is the Minkowskian v, okay? And from this expression here, on the horizon, this is zero, and therefore xi is simply alpha times La, where alpha is av squared plus c. And what you can show is that k, this k, is simply given by the derivative along v of alpha. It's one line computation. So what actually here is L and not xi. Okay? Moreover, so, and here it comes really the difference between this case and the black hole case, because in the black hole case, the field is a Killing field, and therefore in the unperturbed spacetime, theta is zero, as well as sigma and omega. And therefore, in the perturbed space, I can write theta as theta zero plus theta one, if you want, so the unperturbed one plus the perturbation. Theta zero is zero, and this equation really is, I mean, it simplifies a lot. In our case, what happens is that omega AB zero is zero because it's the generator is hypersurface orthogonal. The sigma AB zero is zero as well, but theta zero is not. And you can see it from here. Because if theta zero is zero, it means that the area of the horizon remain does not change in the unperturbed spacetime. While here we have a light cone which is expanding at the speed of light, and so theta zero is not zero, but we can still expand this equation in at first order in theta one, and since omega at zeroth order is zero and sigma at zeroth order is zero, these two terms are at the second order, so we neglect it. And what we get is simply d of theta zero over dv plus d of theta one over dv equal minus 1/2 theta zero squared minus theta zero theta one at first order minus 1/8 pi delta, if you want, TAB, LA, LB. Okay? But now, what is theta zero? Is the solution of the Rice-Dourier equation in the unperturbed case, which means that it's actually the solution of this equal this. So this can go away, and this is what we have. And now we can apply this. We can put this here. So what we have is the integral over the horizon of delta TAB. Xi b is alpha LA, so alpha LA, and the volume element can be written as LB times DS. I call it DA times DV. Okay? And so I have delta M equal to this plus delta M infinity. And now you put this in, and you get the integral over the horizon of alpha, what? Alpha 1 over 8 pi minus d theta 0, where is it? D theta 1 over dv. Plus theta 0, theta 1, d a dv. Okay? And now you can integrate by part this term. You can use the fact that theta 0 is defined in this way to recast everything as a boundary term. So delta A also depend on V. So integrating by part, I have a boundary term which is given by alpha over 8 pi theta 1 dA integrated on a at the two extremes, so here and here. So at the bifurcating sphere, if this is VH, and at infinity. Okay? And then you have the term delta alpha theta 1 dA, which cancels. There is a minus somewhere. There's a minus here, right? I know it's fine. The integration by part brings you a minus signs, which will cancel this. And then what you are left with is just the integral of dv of alpha, theta 1, dA, dv, along all the horizon. Okay? Plus delta m infinity. And so what we have is the following. We have delta m equal one over 8 pi integral, this is a plus because I integrated by part, integral the horizon of k, because k is delta v, is the dv of alpha, times theta 1 dA dv. Okay? Now, since ksg is constant on the horizon, I can do this. And now I define, and then I will show that that has a meaning, this as delta A, okay? And so we end up with delta M equal KSG over 8 pi delta A plus delta M infinity, okay? Now, why did I call this delta A as delta A? Because it doesn't really look like the change of the area of the horizon. Okay, so if all this, you can do it for a standard Killing field, and you end up with the same thing, but now these two are the same, and this is exactly the change of the area of the horizon, which in the unperturbed case is constant. Okay. In our case, this is not true, but delta M is conformally invariant. Why? Because for a conformally invariant field, TAB transforms under a conformal transformation as omega to the minus 2 TAB. So if you want delta TAB, the volume element transform as omega squared volume element. And therefore, delta M, which is the integral of the product of these two, remains unchanged. Moreover, kappa surface gravity can also be shown very easily that is unchanged under conformal transformation. Therefore, delta A is conformal invariant. And thus, I can interpret this delta A in a conformal invariant, in a conformally related spacetime. In particular, I can do a conformal transformation such that the lead derivative of psi along my Killing field is zero, which means that psi in this new conformal conformally related spacetime is a proper Killing field, and I can choose omega such that at the bifurcating sphere is one. This is always possible. So the solution to this equation are an infinite family of conformal of omegas. And I can choose omega such that this is true. And therefore, the delta A in my new spacetime. So now in the conformally related spacetime, again, K is equal to Ksg. And therefore, delta A is the proper change of area of the conformally related horizon. But since omega at the bifurcating sphere is one, delta A of the new conformally related spacetime is equal to the change of area of the bifurcating sphere in Minkowski space. I don't know if it's clear. And so this equation is actually telling me that how the horizon reacts to the passage of conformal invariant matter is by this equation where delta A is the change of area of the bifurcating sphere. Okay. And now, up to now, we are basically just show, I mean, up to now, I mean, at this point, we are basically at the same point in which when the laws of thermodynamics for black holes were shown before Hawking then showed that you can actually give a temperature to the black hole and therefore can write a entropy as delta A over 4. But as I was sketching before, you can actually do the same thing that Stephen Hawking did in this space-time. And in particular, I mean, how you can do that. The idea is the following. There is a coordinate transformation, which was actually shown in a AQGS by Hau, that so a coordinate transformation from TR theta and phi to some new coordinate tau r theta and phi, such that the Minkowski metric in region 2 is equal to a conformal factor times minus the tau square plus the rho square plus sinh square of rho square root of delta over delta d s square, where this is the sphere, the unit sphere 2D metric. So this is a static FRW spacetime. So in here, I can define a Fock space and a vacuum, which for conformal coupled matter on this spacetime, which is called the conformal vacuum C, from which I can build a Fock space. And it's a long and tedious computation to show that the Minkowski vacuum, so the vacuum with respect to TR, theta, and phi, is a thermal state in this new Fock space with a temperature which is exactly given by k surface gravity over 2 pi. And so again, this equation here can be rewritten as delta m equal t times delta s plus delta m infinity, where delta s is now delta a over 4. Okay. The second law and the third law, as I said also in the introduction, are a bit less precise. So the second law just comes from saying that if we have a positive energy condition, then delta m is greater than 0, and therefore delta a than 0. And the third law is, as I was saying, in the extremal limit, the temperature goes to 0, because the temperature is proportional to the radius of this bifurcating sphere. And the area of the bifurcating sphere goes to 0, so the entropy goes to 0. It's clear these are not, I mean, the area theorem for black holes is much more st- 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 strong than this, but it might be a future development of this idea to show a more precise second law and even a more precise third law. Okay, so what we can do next is to improve these two. And another interesting idea would be if we do not consider a spherically symmetric conformal Killing field, but we include also some angular part, can we mimic rotation and so do an analog of a rotating black hole? And that's it, basically. Thank you. Yes.
This Killing vector we're having here, there are two of them, right? One is essentially the time translation, if I understand correctly.
Yes.
And the second is what? It's some kind of dilation, right?
Yes. Basically, yes. You can write it also in terms of dt and dr, and it's more clear that it's combination of time and dilation. Yes.
Sort of proved an area theorem for a conformally related space. And in principle, there are many, many different, but can you give an example of a simple transformation so that we can see
yes.
new space?
Yes. I don't remember it by heart, so I have to take it. Omega is equal to 4bh squared over v plus vh. So it's really simple. It's completely regular. Here and here, it's equal to 1 here.
Sorry, it was VH is like
is the,
where V's are.
Right, I'm sorry, this is RH. The,
okay.
And yeah, this is all RH, which is equal to VH in T equals 0, in the T equals 0 hypersurface. So it's perfectly fine here. It's equal 1 at the bifurcating sphere because I require this. And what is interesting is that it blows up here.
Oh, I see.
And here, no, sorry. It blows up here and here. Right? No, that was right. Here and here. So, I mean, we are actually studying now this kind of spacetime that can come out here because, I mean, all these laws are conformally invariant, so they apply to any conformally flat spacetime. So we are trying to see if we can actually find some nice conformal transformation that can give some solution of the black hole type, like this one. I mean, you introduce a singularity inside the black hole, for example, Or you can also find some solution that might be interesting in a cosmological, I mean, like the Sitter space is conformally flat. But we, it's ongoing work. We didn't, I mean, we are working on it. This one, it looks, it looks like this here. If you do it more spherically symmetric, right? This is a sphere, and it has really the same kind of structure of the, of the Reisner-Nozon spacetime, but with a null singularity, which is something weird and interesting. But we are studying it. It's really ongoing.
Okay, if there are no further questions, let's thank Tommaso.